It's That's What They Say on Michigan Public.
Cheesemongers sell cheese, and gossipmongers usually start the gossip or spread it rather than sell it.
That's what they say. I'm Rebecca Hector. Joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Welcome, Ann.
Hello, Rebecca. Are you ready to talk about mongering?
I am. I really like this question. It came from Carl. Carl had a daughter who worked at Monahan's Fish Market here in Ann Arbor while she was a grad student, and apparently he would call her a fishmonger. So Carl is wondering, why aren't there more mongers in other fields, like a produce monger or a textile monger? You know, I've kind of got the same question. Is it just an old word that we don't use that much anymore? I don't know. What do you think, Anne?
It is an old word. Want to thank Carl for the question, because now we get to talk about fun words like to mong, which is a verb that goes back to Old English. Its roots are actually in Latin, but it's been in English a very long time. And it meant to trade or to barter goods. And that's how we get the noun monger, which also goes back to Old English, for a merchant or a trader or a dealer. And Rebecca, believe it or not, there is still some evidence for the verb to mong. The Oxford English Dictionary has a quote from 1998 about 30 years of monging fish.
All I'm picturing is those people that throw the fish. My brain wants that to be what that word means.
And I think in context, we could probably figure out that monging fish is what fishmongers do, but without context, that one might be tough. In terms of the mongers, we have cheesemongers and fishmongers, and historically we've had fleshmongers and ironmongers and alemongers, so people trading in these specific commodities. Then, by the 1500s, monger started to be used also for people who were engaged in trades that were seen as disreputable or petty, or people who were promoting something undesirable. And so this is how we start to get things like a scandal monger, or a superstition monger, a fashion monger, a gossip monger, a power monger for someone who wields power in irresponsible ways, or Rebecca, a word monger.
Oh, I feel like that's something we may want to use. I don't quite understand what it means. Somebody that throws words around?
Yeah, a little bit. A writer who uses words for show with less attention to meaning.
I feel like that's how a lot of my papers were written in college.
Then, of course, we should talk about a warmonger. And this is where monger can be used to talk about someone who stirs things up or spreads them. A warmonger, a hate monger. One could also say maybe a gossip monger falls in here. Starting in the early 20th century, monger then could be used as a verb for to deal or traffic in. So the New Yorker had an article in 1992 that described people mongering shirts and leather jackets. So they were dealing them or trading them. And Rebecca, okay, here we go. Once monger is a verb, we can do things like talk about warmongering, like stop that warmongering, which means that sometimes you will actually hear who might engage in warmongering, a warmonger.
I don't like that. That is awkward to say. It sounds weird. I don't like it. But what else would you call it, though?
Of course, people will say, you don't need that. A warmonger is someone who is stirring up or spreading war. But once you have warmongering, it is not entirely surprising that you will get every once in a while the warmonger, which I agree is hard to say, but it is our job, Rebecca, to acknowledge the things that are happening in the language, whether people agree with them or not. But I think we should go back to the cheesemongers, because then we get to talk about cheese.
We love our cheesemongers. Thanks so much, Anne.
I'm off to go think more about wordmongers.
Ann Curzan is an English professor at the University of Michigan and the author of Says Who, a kinder, funner usage guide for everyone who cares about words. We look at the evolution of language Friday afternoons at 4:45 and Sunday mornings at 9:35 here on Michigan Public. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a language question for us, email us at language@michiganpublic.org.